We're in the book of Hebrews tonight. I've got your Bibles. I was watching a preaching message or a church, and the preacher never had a Bible. He had a little notebook, and I know I'm very critical, but I was trying to find, so what are they doing over there? It has such a crowd, you know, and he never even used his Bible till 12 minutes later. He finally referenced the Bible, but never drew the people to look to the Bible for scripture. And then later I saw a different version of the Bible they were using, and I know that's a key factor. But I'm glad I can hold my Bible, amen, and I want you to see the scriptures yourself, and because we're to search those scriptures and to see if we have eternal life, and we're to see where our walk is directed according to the scriptures. You know, the Dark Ages was a time where common man did not have a Bible. Only the religious people had power over the people with the word. And they told them, this is what it says, this is what you do. Thank God the Dark Ages, amen, they're gone. I hope they don't come back, but you need to have your Bible with you. You need to have one, and you need to read it, and you need to follow through with it, follow along with it. I hope you will. Chapter number 12, as you find your place there, verse 1, 2, and 3. I'll preach tonight on running the race, or grammatically correct, running with an ing. I had a fail this morning. I was pointed out, as you guys are so kind to do for me when I preach and I make bloopers. But I need to be reminded of those. But I said something about the ladies and keep on having faith in Social Security. I didn't say eternal security. And I sure don't remember saying that this morning. But apparently I was in a big way and just skipped over the eternal security whole theme of my message. And I pushed Social Security. But that's not what I was doing at all. And you all know there's not much confidence in Social Security. Thank God we have true eternal security. That's another reason to pay attention. Amen. You never know what you might get. Verse number 1 of chapter number 12. Wherefore. Now, we'll stop there. There's a reason for that. Anytime you see the word wherefore or therefore, you need to find out what it's there for. It's there because of chapter 11. Did you know that? He said, preacher, chapter 12 is there because of chapter 11. No, it's much deeper than that. Look at chapter 11. This is what we call the Hall of Faith. Kind of like the Hall of Fame, play on words. I'm not going to go through the whole, I just want you to follow with me. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch. Verse 7, by faith, Noah. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham. Verse 11, through faith, also Sarah. And then verse 13, these all died in faith. And then it goes on to verse 17, by faith, Abraham. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac. By faith, verse 21, Jacob. By faith, verse 22, Joseph. Verse 23, by faith, Moses. Moses repeated multiple times there through that. Then it goes on through faith, verse 28, by faith, verse 29, by faith, the walls of Jericho, verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab. And then he goes on to say, and what shall I more say? And he talks about many others mentioned in this hall of faith of some whose names are not even mentioned, but we're reminded that this world's not even worthy of those people. But I promise you, God has the record of their faith, of what they did. Having obtained that faith, that good report, verse 39 says, they've obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They never received the promises of what would come at the end until they died. And that's the common thing they all have, is they all died, every one of them. And in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That cloud of witnesses is that group of people in chapter 11 that died by faith. And in the context of when this was written, and I believe Paul wrote it, but I'm not going to argue with you about that. But when that was written, Paul was still alive. Now he could be added to that group. And people like my pastor who died, anybody that walked for God and lived for God through faith that has already gone on, they've become part of that group now. And they are a part of this race, which we'll bring out in just a minute. And it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, which is the reason why many people quit running or running the race. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray that you help us tonight. We look at these scriptures and this message to challenge us, Lord, in the days that we are living in. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Those of us here tonight that are saved, you've placed a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are running a race. Whether you are running it well or not, you are still in the race. Now, I've never run a marathon before, as far as a real 26.1 miles. I've never run a half marathon before. I've never run a 1/16th of a marathon before. But I have run some sprints, races that were quick dashes, we call them. Now, I know you don't believe this, but I used to be pretty fast. I used to could run a 50-yard dash pretty fast. I won a few ribbons back in elementary day. But when it come to junior high day, where they said long distance was the thing then, you didn't do it. Now, some of the track things were, quick speeds, but then they wanted to run like a whole lap, a whole lap really, really fast. I couldn't run really, really fast a long time. And so long distance, I'd hurt my side and all that, so I just quit running. And the only reason I ever ran after that was I was either competitive against someone in some kind of church activity, running from a snake, running from something that scared me, but I didn't run for competition. Now, Paul used a lot of analogies about fighting and running and being interacted, and the Olympics came in the time of the Grecian Empire, and the Olympics are coming up again for us in America. We're going to be going over Paris, I believe it is, and we've got the Summer Olympics coming up. There'll be all kind of races and references to that. Paul used a lot of those references so the common people could connect. They understood the race and the prizes and all that went on with that. And he connects that and challenges us as believers. So in running the race, every one of us has a race to run. But I want to look at verse number 1. There is a stadium connected to this race, associated with this race as you and I are believers. This great cloud of witnesses. He says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. One thing it's important to know, that the race that I have, Pastor Ellison has, it's not your race. And I can't run your race. And some of you, I don't know that I could even survive very long in the circumstances of some of what you have endured. But we know grace is sufficient for every need in our life. And God does not put on us more than we can bear, because he wants us to run that race. There are many times that we may have to rest, but we do not quit. We may slow down some along the way. But when you ever think about turning around, can you imagine, say, I ran half a marathon, but I got so tired and so weary, I turned around and I walked back the other way. Now, that would be ridiculous. That you ran that far, you could at least said, hey, I at least ran till I passed out 13 miles or whatever it is. I think it's 13.1 and marathon's 26.2. Anyhow, I act like I know what I'm talking about, like I've run that before. But I read a lot of bumper stickers. But anyhow, to be able to say I ran that far, but then I gave up and I decided to walk all the way back to the starting line. No, how about if you're going to do that, walk all the way to the finish line. Finish the race. You might not run it the same pace, but success in spiritual life, Christian life, is to finish that race that's set before you. Many people have quit God because they got mad at church members. They've quit God because they got mad at God because of some outcome or something that happened. Something didn't go their way. And here's this cloud of witnesses, and there's so many things here we could draw out. But I would say this to you. In the cloud of witnesses, the stadium of, that is associated with this race, do you think, here, I want to read these guys to you. Through faith, this is verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. That sounds like all victory, doesn't it? Sounds like it's great. This is the stadium full of all these people. And he said, well, I'm just not as great as all them, and I just can't do it, it's not important. And here these people, the Bible says, some quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Now, can you associate with that? I can associate with that one. That one standing in the stands there that's watching me run the race, that out of weakness was made strong, I relate to that one. Because I have, out of much weakness, been made strong beyond my own abilities over and over and over again. And then the verses go on. And it says here, others had cruel mockings, verse 36, and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. Maybe you can't relate to that. But could you be inspired by someone who did not receive the promise? They didn't get the reward. They didn't get the great outcome and look like, boy, victory, victory, such victory, such an amazing hero of the faith. What did they do that was so great, preacher? Well, some of them, the scripture says, they went through cruel mockings and they were imprisoned. Some were stoned. And how about this? This is my favorite of all of them. Verse 37, they were sawn asunder. You like my sound effects? If I ever figure out how to run this sound system unlimited power, I may just push a button and do my sound effects. But you know I'd mess it up. Something would go wrong. It'd be some kind of chipmunk sound or something. I'd mess it up. I'm sure I would. So I promise you I won't do that. Y'all looking at me scared like, no. Some of you are wanting me to do it. To be sawn asunder, what does that mean, preacher? It means they were put, most of the time they were put in hollow logs and then they were cut in half. That was their race. Yep. When you die, you finish your race. It's over. And that same group is in that stadium. They're in a sense, in an essence, witnessing and testifying at the same time of our race and their race together. And I'm going to tell you, if somebody was willing to die for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and be sawn asunder, I think I can handle my splinters and my bruises, and my hurt attitude, and my bitterness, and my all that. I think somehow I need to step up a little bit more. Amen. I need to quit getting so discouraged about what I see. If I can look back to this stadium full of people, maybe I can draw inspiration from these individuals, these testimonies of these believers who ran their race. And even when you look at Moses, we sometimes consider Moses and like, man, he's such a great man. So much success. I mean, he tried to talk God out of even using him. He said, I'm not an eloquent man. I can't speak well. I can't go before Pharaoh. And God took all his excuses away and said, I'll send your brother Aaron and let him do the talking. Yet finally, Moses submitted to being what he should be, and God used him. And that's why we have stories like the Red Sea. And that group is in that stadium as well, that cloud of witnesses. And as I've already mentioned, there are some modern-day people, like my pastor who passed away last year. It's hard to believe that he'll be dead. You know, I think he's been dead now over a year in March. And, you know, he preached the gospel for 50 years and he was an inspiration and encouragement to me. And now he's in that stadium. And there are times when I feel like I want the hands to hang low and my knees get feeble and I want to quit. You and I need to look to that stadium, that cloud of witnesses. Some of you had family members who loved God and lived for God and served God. And you speak of them many times of how inspired you were by your dad or your mom and their walk, their faithfulness to the Lord. So that ought to be a reason, just that alone, to say, you know what, I am not going to quit running this race. There's too many people in that stadium of that cloud of witnesses to inspire me. If I could complain about all the reasons why I cannot run, maybe you should walk. Amen. You ever seen anybody crawl in a race? You ever see some people, there's video, inspiring videos, somebody goes back and gets the other person who broke their leg or fell and scraped themselves, and they help hobble and walk across the finish line. Why is that so important? Finish line's very important. So important. I may not run the same race, the same pace. I may not go the same areas that you might go, but I have a race that is set before me. I have a calling upon my life, as you do as well, and it's so important. Let's keep running that race. If for nothing else, for the very sake of the stadium, the cloud of witnesses that testify against us or in support of us. Can you imagine getting to heaven and say, well, I ain't done nothing for God in 40 years. I just quit. You know, what happened to you? I got sawn asunder. I should have quit before they cut me in two, but I was too stubborn. Oh, I want to be stubborn. Amen. I talk a good talk, but I do want to keep walking for God, serving the Lord, and not getting so easily beset as the thought here is. Also in chapter number 12. So we see the stadium, we see the struggle. There is no doubt a struggle in this race. Now, as I said before, I'm not built for speed anymore. I used to be. Some of y'all chuckling. I heard that. Long distance. I remember running eighth grade. Eighth grade was the worst 5 years of my life. No, I'm just kidding. I just only went one. I really didn't like middle school at all. It's an awkward time for me. First day of seventh grade, a guy kicked me head first into my locker, welcoming me to his empire, his world. And then the ninth graders, they're the bosses. And that's ninth, eighth, all that. I was seventh grade. That was the range. And I remember going to gym. Oh, gym was such a fun time. And I remember going in there to the locker room with all those other fellas. And everybody smells and shit. Oh, it's just the air. I'm still trauma. You can tell I'm traumatized still. And I remember when Jim was saying, how are we going to go run a mile? Oh, Lord, have mercy. And they would time you to embarrass how slow you really were. And I think I ran the mile. I hopped and I walked and I wanted to quit 1,000 times. And my time really was bad, so embarrassed I won't even tell you how long it took me to do it. But there were some worse and slower than me, which inspired me that I wasn't last. But I can tell you what's the most important in life is going through the struggle is to be able to finish, to say you finished. Because you're going to regret a lot in life saying, man, I wish I had accomplished. I wish I would have finished this. I regret not finishing certain things in school. I gave up in certain things in school. I didn't pursue them. I regret other things in life that I pursued and I put my hand to and I stopped. I started and I stopped. And I've never regretted anything I finished, though. Even if I made a mistake, God was able to help me learn from it, more importantly, because I finished it. You messed up really bad, but at least you finished it. And then I look at, and later I can go back, and I have experience from start to finish that only God could use by His grace, maybe to help someone. And when I have finished, especially finishing well, is so important. And I think it's so important in our success in our Christian walk. But there is a struggle in the race of the time frame of running. Physically, running physically hurts my body. I don't know if y'all ever had that one. I don't know if it's pleurisy or flank pain or aneurysm in the side. I don't know what it's called. I've had some bad pain and made me want to quit. But there are other struggles. He talks about here, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so does so easily beset us. So the category of struggle we have here, weights and sin that are listed here. Now, sometimes legitimately runners put weights on their body for training. They weight down their legs so when the race day comes, they're fleet of foot and they can fly and run. Now, I never did that, but I know it. I did do it, but it didn't work for me. But I did feel better once the weight was lifted off of my body. But spiritually applying, there are weights in our lives that obviously, if you train with them, that doesn't help you until you release them, until you take them off so you can feel lighter. But if you keep the weights on during the race, which is what a lot of Christians do, they keep the weights on all the time. What are some of the weights? Well, sometimes it's just a burden, whatever category of the burden might be in your life. You're running that race with a burden on your heart, on your life, burdens on your mind. There might be bitterness in your heart through some treatment or mistreatment that you had. It could be your bank account, some debt that you have, financial debt. It could be a lot of things that we could say that are just weighing us down in our race. And if you don't watch it, it makes you want to come to a crawl, and it makes you want to stop. And sometimes when you see other people running along with you and they quit, that discourages you. So you've run with me all these years. You just started running with me again and now all of a sudden you've stopped. Boy, it can get to you mentally. It can begin to affect you watching other people. That's why you got to focus on the finish line and what the finish line symbolizes. And it is winning the race or succeeding in the race is running till God says stop. Running till your life is done. Till your journey down here is over. Till you meet the Lord and be inspired by the Lord Jesus Christ. Many weights, and we're supposed to lay those things aside to make us lighter, to help us to have greater endurance, to get through the sufferings that we might go through. And just keep pressing on, keep pushing on, keep fighting on, keep walking on. We keep going forward. The thought of going forward in the word, the Proverbs talks about many times, a froward person. The word froward means you are perverted or you are turning around and you're going the wrong way. You're going away from God. So we need to focus on going forward for God. That's part of the struggle, because sometimes you think, I will never finish this race. They say, for those of you who do run marathons, that there is a brick wall that many runners face as they run these long distances. This brick wall is not a real physical wall, it's a mental wall. There's a certain time frame of the race, maybe it's the last time you quit at that same point. And it's hard to push a little further. Or there's a certain number or there's a certain image of the landscape that you're running. There's something there that becomes a mental block or a brick wall that stops people. It seems like it's the hardest point of that race for them. They want to quit more than any other time that they have been running through. And that may be something that you're facing tonight, that you've hit that sort of brick wall. We're to lay aside the things that easily beset us. Try to throw them off if we can mentally be aware of it. If I had 2 5-pound weights on my feet and I ran with them and I forgot to take them off, man, what a thought. So, man, no wonder I'm so slow right now. I'm going to take these off. And I would outrun Donnie. I'd leave him in my dust. But I have some weights and you have some weights. They're just not that easy to unvelcro, are they? They're just not that simple to unlatch and just toss to the side. But we are told in this scripture, we're commanded in this scripture, let us lay aside every weight. How can I do that? Well, you need to pray. You need to go to the altar. You need to have an altar at home. You need to spend some time praying and talking to the Lord, maybe asking God to search your heart. What is weighing me down in my race? What is the weight? What is a spiritual thing in my life? It could be a habit that you have. I had some habits in my life that weighed me down spiritually. God spoke to me about them, and so I began to deal with that and talk to God about it, and there come a day I laid it aside. Some things I just quit cold turkey. Some things the turkey was took a lot longer to quit. But God gave me grace and I was laying aside those things. Then there are things that creep up in your life. Even if you've lived for God for 30 years, they creep back in your life sometimes. But when God, the Holy Spirit, makes you aware that you've got to wait, it's your responsibility to lay it aside. You give it up. You give it over. And then he brings out the point that everybody loves. You just can't never preach enough on sin. That's a quote from Barney Fife, if y'all know who he is. The sin which doth so easily beset us, that temptation that snags you so easy, so quick, it catches you so much in your life. It could be that habit. It could be some addiction or something that just gets you so quickly and so easily in your life. It could be something that harms you instantly, something that could harm you long term. It could be something that, you know, that's a stimulation. It could be something that's a temptation. It could be a lot of things. It could be things that you have committed and things you have omitted. God could have said to do this and you said, nope, I'm not going to do that. Well, you've omitted it. You've disobeyed. And it could have been something that the Bible says thou shalt not do, and you went right ahead and did it. You committed that sin. And if God deals with you about that, you know, these things, this is a big word, but they impede us, they stop us, they slow us down, they hurt us in our spiritual walk. I have, as a pastor, from this point of view, I've watched the weights add on people's lives. I've watched the sin grow in their individual walk. And guess what I've watched? I've watched that pew become empty over and over and over. And it's not that they're going to some other pew, to some other church. They've quit the race altogether. Well, thank God you can get back in the race. And you can't just start somebody else's race. And you may have to start in a place that you may not like. But God's grace is sufficient to help you and restore you and renew you. But you've got to come on His terms. Now, some people, you have a great knowledge of the Bible and you know a lot, but because of spiritual problems and things, maybe you've gone backwards. Well, when you get things right with God, if you can remember that and that foundation's there, it's not wasted and eroded and gone because it's settled and connected to the Word of God. I've seen God restore people after many years of being out of the things of God, away from God, out of the house of God, got their heart right, but they had a great foundation and God restored them. I've seen some of those same people, Brother Jeremy, go past people who had been saved for 50 years and never missed a service, but they did not want to grow. They didn't care about their own individual race. They were complacent and content. And that other person got on fire for God. You've heard that phrase before, haven't you? They kicked it in and said, I'm going to finish well, finish strong. And a lot of people that run those sojourning, long distant races, when they sense and see the finish line is getting close, you ever heard this phrase? They kick it. They kick it in. They give another kick. They push really hard for that last leg of the race. Church, that's what I believe God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to quit or slow down. We're supposed to assemble ourselves together, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. What are we actually seeing? Brother Matt, we're seeing a lot of people, so much the less as we see the day approaching. That's people getting weary. They're getting tired. Or they're giving in to other people's advice or other things that can slow them down. I know this is sort of comical, but have you ever heard the different directions or advice that people give for running long distance races? You can carb load. Have y'all ever heard of that? You know, some people eat boxes of donuts and a bunch of pizzas to carb load. I wouldn't advise that. Your race may be messy if you load up like that. So you can get some bad advice on how to walk for God or how to live for God or what's important or what's not important. You need to be in a good Bible preaching, doctrinal teaching, preaching church. You need to be in your Bible, your own individual self. You need to be reading the scriptures yourself, praying yourself, seeking God that you might grow every age, every category. I'm talking to every one of you individually walking and growing because you've got your own race to run. These youngest kids here, you may not get it yet. You may not even be saved yet, but once you do get saved, and if you are saved, you're held accountable. You have a walk, you have a race to run. You have influence that people in school and your world of friends around you that no one else here can reach. And if you're not running that race, you're leaving out the gospel. You're being a stumbling block to them. God won't get the glory. They might not ever hear the gospel to be saved. You can't say you run your race very well when you leave out things like that. So many things can slow us down and discourage us. Sins in our life can beset us, throw us to the side, derail us, put us back. But here's a challenge within the scriptures in verse 1 about patience. There's a problem, but part of that struggle of impediments or things that might slow us down, but there's also impatience in our life. And as I said before, this is not a 100-yard dash walking for God, living for God. It is a long, sometimes long, long, long journey. You know, the Bible mentions about sojourners in the Old Testament. That's really what we are as believers today. We are sojourners. We are traveling on this earth. We're going from place to place that God allows us to live and set up, job to job and thing to thing. But this all about living our life, but not about ourselves once we get saved. It's about living our life for God. And everything that comes into our lives, we got to have patience and faith to believe there is a reason, there is a purpose why it has happened. Romans 8:28, we quote it all the time. Please don't leave out the part about all things work together. And we know all things work together for good to them what? That love God. Don't leave that part out. I think it's the key to it, that we keep loving God through it. Because there's going to be times where you will be impatient with God. You will not understand why he did not move faster. You will be upset with God on why he didn't answer something the way you thought it should be. I don't know about you, but I struggle with patience. It's one of my problems. I'm not very patient. I would rather not sit at a red light or in a traffic jam. I would rather drive miles out of the way just so I could keep moving. And I thank you for the sound effects. That was pretty cool when I come out of there. I that's the way I am. I don't know why. I would rather just drive all the way around Simpsonville as long as I don't want to be stuck anywhere. I'm going to go through the neighborhood here. I'm going through the shortcut here because I don't like just sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. Is that because I want to go forward for God? No, it's because I'm impatient. I wish I could say some spiritual great thing about it, but it's not. I'm just impatient. I want to move. I want to go forward. I want to be moving. I want to get to where I want to go. A lot of times it's eating lunch or something real important, you know. But sometimes it is important, but I just have a struggle with the spirit of impatience in my life. And because it's a long-distance journey, and some of these in chapter number 11 lived 110 years, that's a long time to sojourn. It'd be easy if everything happened so good like it happened to them. Preacher, their lives were great. Study their lives and see how many valleys they had versus mountaintops. See how many struggles that they had compared. And some of them are not even named here. It's just told about how poor they were and how bad of conditions that they were in. But even the Bible references of whom the world was not worthy. The world wasn't worthy of them, but God will reckon them and remember them. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, but they've obtained a good report through faith. I think the most successful way to run your race is be faithful to what God has sent into your life. And if you have failed to be faithful, start it back up. Just get one foot in front of the other. They say people, when people quit certain disciplines in their life, whether it's athletics, it could be some kind of discipline of playing the guitar. I hope you understand what I mean by the word discipline. It could be some sport that you used to do, or you might have learned sign language, or it could be the piano, it could be karate, it could be something else. But if you ever quit it, it's a mental brick wall again. There's a challenge to restart it back. But I encourage you, restart that race, walking for the Lord, living for the Lord, and hopefully running that race like God wants us to do. Waiting on God and trusting in Him and leaning on Him sometimes is not easy, as the songs say. It's not easy as the sermon comes across. And sometimes there's going to be a struggle with trusting and waiting upon Him. But look at verse number two. We see an inspiration here. And that's part of our success, is seeing the success of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that dying on the cross was successful? It was. You know, the devil tried to kill Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and stop him from getting to the cross. Stop him. Do you know, I believe with all my heart, if they could have kept Jesus from coming out of that grave, the devil would have kept him in that grave. But he couldn't, because on the third day, God raised him from the dead. So I look at his life, looking unto Jesus, the author of what? Of his own? No, the author and finisher of our faith. He's writing the script of the race, the story. He's set the course that you and I are on. And for us to be successful in our own race, we need to look unto Jesus. We need to trust in him. One of the things that I have heard about running, I'll just say heard because you know I'm not an expert on running. I've already laid that. But they say if you're running, some guys have a football, and you know, they're trying to run toward the goal line. And they say it's a bad thing to look back. You start turning off course. You start slowing down. You start getting distracted because you're not looking at the finish line. And many times I've watched football games where somebody got close to the finish line and they forgot they still had a ball in their hand. And they drop it in celebration, putting their hands in the air. And the ball didn't cross the plane to the goal line. It fell 1 inch short, and they turned the ball over to the other team. It's important to stay focused. And who is the focus of all our spiritual walk? It's Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. To me, he is the finish line. Amen. He's the finish line. If I die with a weak few words on my breath at my deathbed one day, I hope I've still got my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, because I expect to close these eyes in death and open those eyes in heaven, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And I get to see the Lord, my Savior, my inspiration, the author and finisher of my faith. It's going to be about hearing him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Not about $1 million or some trophy down here that this earth could provide. And even Paul would try to give that analogy even during the time of the Grecian Olympics that carried into the Roman Empire. They would put, you remember those little crowns that they would put on? They were made out of some kind of vegetation. I don't even know what the word, some of those plants they would put on their head, those little crowns. That's what he talked about, a crown that fadeth not away. That little crown made out of some kind of plant reed put upon their head, it would dry up, it would fade away. You couldn't preserve it very long. And now, of course, they get gold medals and things such as that. But you and I are going to get a glorified heavenly crown one day that fades not away. The Lord Jesus Christ needs to be our inspiration. Look at these things. We'll quickly move on. He's the author and finisher for our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. How did he do it? He had joy set before him. What was the joy connected to? It was connected to the fact that once he endured the cross and he died on that cross, he would deliver you and I from our sins and we would become the sons of God. He would bring us out of darkness into light, bring us into the family of God. We would have heaven as our home. He endured that and looked at that as joy. What an inspiration. He did it for me when there really wasn't a whole lot I can really understand that was for him. I don't know what he got out of it, because I make a lot of mistakes. I don't have a lot of victories to put in my life that I would like to say. I've thought about turning back and quitting this race quite a few times And you probably have too. And here he has endured the cross, which is the pinnacle of the worst that you could ever face. Never had sinned one time in his life, paying for the sin of the whole humanity of the world. He endured that cross. He went on to it. And he was nailed to that cross. Even though he might have come down on his own power, he could have. He endured it, despising the shame. I believe there's inspiration there that there are things that we are going to have to endure in our own individual race. Endurance is so hard to come by these days. But it's good to see people just keep on pushing on, keep on pressing on, keep on fighting on. This great endurance and stamina. My pastor, as I mentioned, he had colon cancer with a colostomy bag for multiple years. Anybody knows anything about that world, that is not an easy world. That's a hardship to endure. Hit heart attack and a stroke. And fourth cancer came again and had to cut part of his back of his jaw off, a lot like Sister Carolyn went through. And he kept enduring and going on and on. And as long as God allowed him to raise back up, he was willing to get back up. And he kept preaching till he was laying in his deathbed. And even there, one day, 2 days before he died, I heard him in there singing a song. Singing a good old Christian song that he'd heard on the radio. And I said, that's the way I want to go out. That's how you finish. Amen. You just keep enduring this race. And some of you are really, if we would look around amongst, some of you I know are not part of chapter number 11 being dead in the stadium yet, but you are still an inspiration to us because you have such great endurance. And you have despised so many things. You've resisted shame and things that could have discouraged you or stopped you, things that could have kicked you out of the race. The Bible calls people like that overcomers. We give a lot of credit to overcomers of alcohol and other addiction, as well we should. It's worthy, and it's an inspiring to see. But there are so many other categories of things we have to overcome in this life. You can overcome jealousy. You can overcome bitterness, overcome an offended spirit. There's so many things, depression and discouragement, that we need to overcome. And he needs to be our inspiration. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And the Bible says in verse 2, and talks here as sat down, talking about Jesus, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That was his finish. He finished well. He presented the blood as a gift for all mankind to have salvation. And he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. And what's very important about that is the Bible, especially in the book of Hebrews, points to Jesus Christ being the great high priest. And the high priest like Aaron and others in the Old Testament, when they served in the temple, Brother Carl, there was no furniture in the temple to sit down on. There was no chair. Your work in that temple was never done. You never ceased to offer sacrifice and come and go. You only left the temple, and you when your course was done, another priest would come in and do the service. There was no chair for Aaron to sit down and go, "Whoo, boy, I'm glad that's over." But there was a chair in heaven on the right hand of the throne of God, because Jesus on the cross says, "It is finished." And he sat down on that right hand of the throne of God because he did finish his race. And I want to finish mine. And what a joy one day for us if we endure and we push on. We might get that crown of righteousness or some type of crown that he might give us. The Bible alludes to that. There are five crowns that people can get. Preachers can get one of them, a soul winning crown, reaching out for souls. There are other crowns that you and I can get. And what a joy to be able to take a real crown that God gives us and finally have something to offer back to our Savior. I could offer my body now as a living sacrifice, but in finality of the finishing of my race, boy, many people would run for their country and they would give their medal to their king. Who would be more honorable to get anything that we get and give it back other than Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the one that's an example of our faith. He engineered our faith, designed that faith. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And verse 3 says, "For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds." That's the enemy, the adversary of running a race, is weariness and fainting in the mind. Many people faithfully attend church. They hear sermon after sermon. They're in the service and through the motions over and over. But in their mind, they are fainting. They're becoming weary. And I've watched that happen. And it's hard to see it sometimes. And there's been some that surprised me because it's like, all of a sudden, they were gone. But when I investigated and I went to speak to them, I went to their house or prayed with them, I found out they had quit a long time ago in their mind. They were getting weary and they were fainting. And finally, they just fell out altogether. I could preach a whole other message on fainting, but I won't do that. I might do it sometime. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to faint. Now, I know this is a violent sport, and y'all can criticize me later if you'd like to. But this UFC fight stuff that's out there where they punch each other. It's not boxing gloves. They're just really punching each other. They got something they call a rear naked choke. And they come up behind you, and they choke you out really good. And they cut off the blood flow of your carotid arteries and other important places where blood should go. And those people, instead of fainting in front of everyone in that arena, you know what they do? They tap out. They tap the arm and show the referee, "I'm done, I surrender, I quit, I lose." Because they don't want to faint in front of everybody. I wish we could have that same, I'm not saying the word embarrassment, but inspiration to say, I would rather just flat die than to faint. But we don't have that attitude too much, do we? I'd rather just fall out of exhaustion and someone see, "Preacher, did you faint? "No, I didn't faint. Just pick me up, put me in a wheelbarrow, and help me finish this race. Just help me get it finished." But some people, they just quit. And here the weariness and fainting in their minds is the enemy of running the race. I know a lot of preachers, and I'll use this phrase, that used to be this, used to be that. I know a lot of people I've talked to, "I used to go to church, preacher. I used to walk for God. I used to drive a bus. I used to teach a class. I used to sing. I used to do this." What has happened? They got weary. Something happened. They got weary, fainted, or something beset them. Now, I want you to think about, is it a weight or a sin? Is it something that has easily beset you? How about we take a challenge and say, "Well, before I easily get out of this race, there's going to be something hard have to knock me out of my race. Something's going to have to really knock me out of my race." That'd be a good attitude to have. Not pride, but to say, "Good gracious, if that fella could say, 'No, I will not deny Jesus Christ,' put me in that log and saw me in two. Go ahead and threaten me with heaven. I'll not quit." I wish we had that kind of inspiration like those in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. He said, "No, I will not quit. I'll not deny the name of Jesus. I'll not quit preaching the truth. I'll not quit living for God. I'm going to keep on keeping on," as they say. "I want to continue in the things that I have learned." Consider him. He endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary. If you don't consider Jesus, you're going to be weary. You're going to get weary and you're going to faint in your minds. I've seen a lot of a lot of fainting over the years, and some of it I have seen physical fainting. I've seen people talking, and they just tuned out. You ever been around somebody that fainted like that? They're just, all of a sudden you can just tell, they're getting ready to go down, and they just, wow. And every time somebody faints, somebody gets hurt. And if somebody doesn't help them go down gently, they can get hurt really badly. And if someone doesn't get them some water and get them some kind of aid to restore them, it may be low blood sugar, it could be a million things. I tell you, we need to run this race together. I can't run your race, and I wouldn't mind running alongside you, but there's going to be a certain pace of time that you may go before me, ahead of me. I got to keep my pace of the race. But I also don't want to act like I'm the only one running and I'm the only one that matters. We need to encourage one another and bear one another's burdens. But we need to understand when we quit, when we stop, we affect others. The Bible says in the book of Romans, no man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. What you do affects others. I've seen parents quit church. Guess what happened? Well, their children, most of them can't drive. They don't come either. So the whole family's out. And then they go a whole time of 10 years. That you think about 10 years of your children's life, how much that affects them where they weren't in church. And the parents get back in and say, I don't know why I can't get my kids back in. I know why. Because you quit. Don't quit. And he said, well, preacher, I quit and I don't really want to get back in it. Do it for somebody else other than yourself. Do it for the Lord and do it for your children or do it for somebody else. And maybe God will help you realize it's worth every mile of the trip. It's worth finishing the race. Sister Tonda, I want you to come play something for us. I'm finished. I believe success of your race is focusing on being faithful to it. Being faithful. Faithful over the things God has given you. And I know there are physical things that happen. People are sick and they can't keep going to church. There's certain things that they cannot do. But I think you still understand what I mean. Even if you were on your deathbed or your sickbed, you can still be faithful. You can still pray. You can still be walking for God and living for God because your heart is still in that race. People come and talk to you. You still talk about the things of faith, the things of God. You've not quit living for God. You haven't forsaken Him. Your mind didn't faint. You didn't give up. Your spirit's still there. But if you're able to walk and be faithful, able to go to church, able to read your Bible, able to pray, then you ought to be in that race that God has given you to do that. So set aside those weights that have been easily besetting you. It might be a person, could be something else. What about the sins it talks about? Is there a sin in your life and God's dealt with you about it and you won't do business with God about it? Well, you're never going to run that race the way you should run it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. When I was in Bible college, we were asked to write a sermon and make an outline of this sermon entitled, I Shall Not Quit. And one of the points I wrote, and I found that old sermon many years ago, I wrote it. One of the points was, I shall not quit because of the others that are watching me run the race. Now this stadium, this cloud of witnesses represents those who've gone on before us. And I challenge you to think about those who are watching you right now. Your kids watching you. Are they watching you run a race? Or are they watching you quit a race? If you thought about giving up, think about what's at stake. When you used to be. To have that determination, said, God, please help me. I don't want to quit. I don't want to walk away from the things of God, the things of faith. I want to pick up my Bible again as the most important book in my life. I want all my energy that I have, that I put you first. And then those other things, those habits, those hobbies, or whatever they are, that they prioritize right. They're in the right line. And that I'm looking unto you as the author and finisher of my faith. And I don't want to quit. Would you ask the Lord to help you to stay in your race, to run that race, and to look to Jesus for that strength and that inspiration, that power to finish that race. What is that race for you? I do not know. I don't know if there's some here that be missionaries. Some of them might be preachers or pastors. I tell you, we got a shortage on just real good, godly, faithful people just staying in the race. There's a great need for that just in general. Would you pray, ask God to strengthen you, give you grace, help you to keep enduring, keep pressing on, keep being faithful. One day we'll hear him say, hopefully, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I can't be another pastor across town. I can't be another preacher on TV. I can only be what I am and what God's called me to be. I have a race to run, and that same goes for you. You've got children, you've got family, you've got people in your neighborhood, people at your job. You've got a world, a stadium of the past, and those that are watching on the sidelines. That's why it's important not to quit running this race. Some of you know, I know, some of you even listening here tonight that are not in church, you've grown weary in your minds and you're about to faint. Would you please ask God to help you not to do that? Would you please stop and pray? Ask God to strengthen you, renew your strength, and help you to keep running that race for Him. Continue to be faithful to raise your family, to walk for God and go to church and be a light and a witness and to walk the Christian way and walk it for God's glory and honor. Father, I pray that you'll touch our people and use these feeble thoughts tonight and the scriptures of your Bible, Lord, to inspire us to finish our race and keep on running the race that is set before us. Lord, it could be that we are not very far away from you calling us all home in the rapture. Help us, God, to endure till then. Help us to keep pushing on, keep pressing on. Lord, as old Brother Mays Jackson, the old preacher, used to say, he was heaven down with the hammer down. Oh, God, let us be inspired by those who've gone on before us to keep on keeping on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.